You have been putting aside money for retirement for years and years and years and years. And now the time has finally come. You're retired and you're going to start spending some of that money. Now, there's a big difference between retirement savings and the retirement income planning that you need to do now. The latter can be a lot more challenging for people. Jamie Hopkins is the director of retirement research at wealth management firm Carson Group. He joins us today from Philadelphia to talk about his most recent book, Rewirement, Rewiring the Way You Think About Retirement. Hello there, Jamie.
Hello, and thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure. I have tried to get the title of your book out accurately about five times, and every time I trip on it, which I guess makes it more, memorable. What were you trying to get at with this book, with Rewirement?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you got it right there. I've actually had people get it wrong live on NBC, so that's okay. You did an excellent job.
Phew.
the title of the book, Rewirement, was really the idea that, you know, rewiring the way we think, right, changing the way we think. And that was based off of some research I had been doing for the last about 4 years, testing people in retirement and close to retirement, their knowledge and literacy rates about that income planning, how you turn that savings into income. And what I found out is actually people were far less literate on that than they were general financial planning and savings. So and people hold a lot of misconceptions about it. So there was a lot of things that we need to change to have a more successful retirement.
What are some of the most common misconceptions that you found on the retirement income planning front?
Yeah, one of the biggest one that's out there is the idea that, you know, if you average 8% returns in retirement, you can spend 8% a year. And that's still one of the biggest kind of problems out there. People think, hey, if we get average returns, we can spend that amount and we'll never spend down our portfolio. And there was research that came out a long time ago now, 1990s, called the 4% rule, which really looked at that idea and said, look, you might get average returns, but if you get bad returns in the first couple years of retirement, that could be, you know, make it so maybe you can only spend 4% even if you average 8% over the course of retirement. And that concept, even though it's been around for a while, is still very hard for people to grasp. Mm.
What about the, I'm going to use the word lumpy, what about the lumpy nature in which retirees sometimes need their income, in that they have this extraordinary, like, around-the-world cruise, it's a really expensive go-go phase, and then they're quiet and just gardening for maybe a decade, and then they hit this period in which they need full-on long-term care and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yep. How do you plan for income that is not constant?
Yeah, and the reality is, you know, while a lot of the academic models look at this constant spending, it's not what anyone does, right? Our spending's different every year. And also what we see is kind of what you described, and I often call it the smile curve of retirement, that at the very beginning, you have this big upswing of spending, you're traveling, right, spending time with family, and then you might slow down, and then at the end, you might get this spike due to long-term care and health care. And so part of it is making sure that we actually have a plan for that whole lifetime of retirement, that we understand that there could be higher years of spending and that we're properly insured for that, or we have proper savings for it, however it is that you want to fund for it. Now, I'm a person that does view the value of different insurance products in retirement income planning, not for everyone, but for some people, it can help kind of alleviate holding on to all of your assets until, right, that spike at the end. We see a lot of data, spending data, shows that that's how people deal with it, is that they're just very, very conservative, and they don't spend money because they're essentially self-insuring all the risks of their retirement, longevity, health care, long-term care. So you have to hold on to your assets because you don't know what the expenses are going to be in the future. You don't know how long you're going to live.
What advice do you have for people on the sort of goal at end of life? So should people plan to zero, or should people plan to some sort of a legacy amount, not necessarily in terms of insurance, but because they would like to leave money to their loved ones? How do you think that through?
Yeah, absolutely. So I really always just list that as a goal, right? If one of our goals is to leave X amount to our children, and that's a very important goal for us, that can drive the plan. That can mean things like spending less. It can mean things like using life insurance. It can mean things like gifting over the course of retirement. Now, obviously, the more money you give away, the more money you don't have. And so you have to be cognizant of that, too, that you always have to still take care of yourself through this time period. But legacy goals are very important to people, and that can be built in as one of the goals into the income plan, and then actually helps kind of drive the strategies that we're going to use.
Your book outlines a pretty detailed 10-step retirement income planning process. We don't have time to go through all 10, but if you were to choose one or two that are like maybe the most contrarian or the most important, I don't know. I'd love to hear a couple that you think are most relevant.
Yeah, and simply put, what I talk about that is it's just goal-based planning. Start with your goal, figure out if you can achieve it, set a plan in place, and then review that plan over time. And that's really what we're talking about. If you're saying what's something that's a little bit different, it's actually try to calculate at some point what you might not have for retirement that you need. So what I talk about there is a retirement income shortfall. So is there something where you might fall short? Then how do we deal with that, right? Are we going to change our retirement, our spending, our savings, our investing, or are we just going to live with that risk?
There are people who spend too much, but as you mentioned, there are also people who spend too little given the resources that they have available to them. How do you help people work through this unnecessary frugality?
Yeah, and I would say for a lot of financial planning clients, the millionaires next door, the upper middle class individuals that have done a very good job of saving and had the opportunity to save throughout their life, that's the group that there's a lot of data suggesting that they actually underspend in retirement. And it goes back to the thing I said before. A lot of people are self-insuring for every risk, even if they don't use those terms. And what I mean by that is you're worried about the future. You don't have a great plan in place. So without a great plan in place, you're kind of just wandering through retirement, managing it year to year, hoping that your account doesn't go down. Well, you can actually spend a lot more money if you take some of that risk off the table. And that just means diversification. It means knowing, you know, how to spend money, tax advantages of different strategies, whether you need a higher baseline of income through annuities, pensions, your Social Security system, you know, kind of wherever you are in the world. There's typically some government insurance program there for retirees, and putting that all together. And we actually see once you go through a planning process, we actually see that retirees are happier if they have a written retirement income plan in place. And we actually see they accumulate more money and spend more money. And now that seems a little odd to people that you can accumulate money and spend more money at the same time. But the reality is if you're sitting everything in CDs and bonds today, you're basically breaking with inflation. And that strategy over a 30-year time period, which your retirement might be, actually handcuffs you with less spending and less growth. So you're actually kind of not being conservative. You're actually harming your long-term future by what feels like a safe strategy.
Jamie, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, you know, I hope somebody gets, you know, once that action item, go out there, improve your retirement, get a plan in place.
Yeah. Jamie Hopkins, the director of retirement research at Carson Group, his book, Rewirement, Rewiring the Way You Think About Retirement.